Let's pray, and then I have the second thing I need your help with. So, God, thank you for being good to us and for loving us and for giving this time that we can come together and open your word and read. And I pray that through your word you would speak to us. You have said it is the sword that your spirit uses. You said that it is living and powerful. So as we read this morning, would you fulfill that promise in our midst and in each one of us? And speak to us from your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I need your help with one more thing. Remember last week when I said that I had a Thanksgiving Day message for the week after Thanksgiving and that I didn't get to share it with y'all because it was snow and we had to cancel that week? So then last week, we ended up not having a normal service downtown. And we had a family devotional around the Lord's table, and it was beautiful. It was a great time. But because of weather again, we didn't have the normal service, which means I didn't preach the sermon there that I preached here in the morning. So I had to shuffle things around. So could you go back in time and just pretend that it's 2 weeks earlier, and you're still eating turkey leftovers, and Thanksgiving just got over? That'll give context to what we're going to look at today. So when I was a kid, we had a tradition at Thanksgiving. Everybody would get a grain of corn, like hard corn. You wouldn't eat it. It was, you know, shucked off like popcorn or whatever. And everybody would get a grain, and we were to say, you probably did something similar. You maybe still do. You would say thank you. We would say something that we're thankful for, and then we would put the grain of corn in the center. There was a bowl or something. I don't remember the details, but it was the saying thank you for something. And believe it or not, that was a hard question to answer. What are you thankful for? What are you most thankful for? The most made it even harder because there was hemming and hawing around the table. And everybody, you know, we don't worry. We always, you know, successfully completed the task. We said something we were thankful for, but it took too much time to think of whatever we were thankful for and whatever we were most thankful for. It should have been a lot easier than it was. That was a hard question to answer, harder than it should have been. You know what? You know it's an easy question to answer. What's not going well in your life? Like, what's bothering you? What are things that you wish, if you could just change anything, you would change that? What would you love to tell me about? Because it's a source of irritation is that person who bothers you or that situation that's not going right. How old your car is or the thing that you want, but you can't buy or problems you're having at work. What's the thing that's bothering you? That's a question we can answer immediately, right? There's no hemming and hawing with that one. You give me a second, I can start making a list, a big list. I can answer that question, what's wrong with your life right now, faster than I can answer the question, what are you thankful for? I can answer both just fine, but I can answer the one about things being wrong faster than the one that's easier. And I think that's why it's hard for us to give thanks sometimes, because we are very conscious. We are very conscious of what we don't have. I always have in the front of my mind what's wrong with my life and what I would like to change and what should be better in my life. And so I end up being not very thankful and also not very happy. And today I want to look at a verse in the Bible, actually two verses, but really it's one. A verse of the Bible that guaranteed to make us 253%. See, that's not a real number. I don't know what percentage it'll make us happier. It'll make us, but it'll make us happier. What we're going to look at today will make us happier, measurably happier, as we go through the next week. So, flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And the big idea that we're going to look at in this verse is this: everything changes when we're grateful. When we give thanks, everything changes. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Start in verse 17. 17 says, pray without ceasing. And then 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So he's giving us this command to be thankful. But look at how he starts it. He starts it by connecting it to pray always, pray without ceasing, always be praying. And my literal mind as a young lad, I always had an issue with that. It's like, how do you obey that? How do you always be praying? Anyway, we'll talk about that some other day. But
He's saying, pray, always pray, and he connects praying and Thanksgiving. Why would he do that? Because when I think about praying, I'm normally thinking about the stuff that's at the front of my mind, which is the stuff that's not right in my life, the stuff that I'm not happy with. I go to God with the stuff I want him to change. I go to him with the list of stuff, please would you do this, and please would you do this, and please. I go with requests, and we're supposed to go with requests. We're supposed to go to God with the things that we are asking him to do. However, Paul connects praying without ceasing and giving thanks in all circumstances because being thankful is part of prayer. It should be part of normal communication between us and God. When we pray, we should give thanks. And when we give thanks, we are praying. It's part of prayer. And so he says, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks. Look at that first part. That's the reason he has to say give thanks. And this is another, this is funny because, I don't know, but interesting funny. Because, okay, he says, pray without ceasing, give, and then he has to tell us to give thanks. Look what he doesn't have to say. He doesn't have to say, and tell God what you want. Tell God what you want him to do. Tell God what you want him, what you need from him. He doesn't say that. He says, give thanks. Why? Because we do the other by instinct, without being told to do it. But the giving thanks part, that's the part that's easy to leave off of our prayers, leave off of us when we talk to God. So he says, give thanks. Oh, in all circumstances. What is giving thanks? Hey, we know this, but just so we know what we're talking about. It's saying the thing, and then saying thank you for it. It's saying whatever the thing is. Like, I thank you for the car that you gave me that brought me here today. And thank you for the clothes that I'm wearing and new shoes. Thank you for the new shoes. And thank you for family. Like the family that's at home, and thank you for my family here, and thank you for that person and that person and the friendship, and thank you for the job that I have that I get to do, and thank you for, and you say the thing, and then you say thank you to God for giving you that thing. Pretty straightforward, right? Just give thanks in all circumstances. That's the part that's not as straightforward. Give thanks in all circumstances. We don't do that part well. We don't give thanks in all circumstances well. If you think about good circumstances and everything's going really awesome, now you think, I give thanks when things are going well. But do you? Because I really don't, not as much as I think I do. Because when things are going well, I'm enjoying the stuff going well. I'm enjoying the people, and my life is going good, and work, and I'm not even talking to, honestly, just confession, I'm not talking to God as much as I would think that I would when things are going well, because I don't have a lot to talk to him about. Why? Because things are going good. I don't give thanks in all circumstances because I don't give thanks as much as I should when things are going well. And I give thanks even less when things aren't going well, because when things aren't going well, you know, I'll give thanks when things start going well. But until things as bad as they are right now in my family or my home or my job or my economy or my whatever the thing is, as bad as stuff is, I don't have much to give thanks for, but I will. If God would just answer these prayers and then everything gets settled, and then I'll give thanks. We don't give thanks in all circumstances because we're too busy enjoying the good stuff when it's going well. And, well, when things are going bad, we're worried and we're stressed and we're trying to figure it out and fix it and get to a point where we can give thanks. And Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. That's in everything. That's in good and bad moments. Don't forget to give thanks when things are going well and when things are going poorly. And this is the one that logically is hard for me. When things are going poorly, also give thanks. So why would Paul say give thanks in all circumstances, which we know from experience all circumstances includes a huge chunk of bad circumstances? So why let's just look at that part of it. Why would Paul be saying give thanks when things are going badly, poorly in your life, when you're not happy and you don't have what you want and you're miserable and you're justifiably miserable? Why would Paul say give thanks in those moments? Because one reason, doesn't say it here, but he says it in another place, so I think it's okay to link them together, because God works through everything. God is working even in what I perceive to be miserable moments that where I'm lacking and things aren't going well and I wish I could change the stuff and it's not changing. And God works through those moments. Look real quick at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. One of many times where this is explained by the Apostle Paul himself, who wrote, "Give thanks in all circumstances." He says, I probably should change the flip over there because I don't have the verse in English in my notes. All right. This will be better. Romans 8, 28. "And we know that for those who love God, all things, that's good and bad, work together for good." Doesn't mean they feel good or they are good in the moment. "For those who are called according to his purpose." God's always working in everything that he puts in your life, especially if you're his child. The good and the bad, the miserable moments. That's one big reason why we can give thanks in all circumstances, especially when the circumstances are perceivably to us bad. Because God's working in those moments, even in those moments, and sometimes especially in those moments. So that's why when that person is just giving you fits, you can say, "God, thank you for putting this person in my life." And you can say it without sarcasm. "Thanks a lot for..." No, thank you. Because you're working through that person being in my life, and through that person, and through me. In all time, we should always give thanks to God in all circumstances, always. And there's that "all" that goes with it, right? Because pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. And there's an over-encompassing, always be doing this. Always be praying and always be giving thanks, always. And then, very helpfully, and Paul does this a lot, the Apostle Paul does this as he writes a lot, he says why. So he tells us why. He answers the 2-year-old why question. Why should I give thanks always? Especially should I give thanks in bad situations and for things that I don't perceive to be good things in my life? Why should I give thanks for everything in all situations? Well, because, mine says, my Bible says for, but it's the same word. It's because, he's saying why, because he tells us why we should give thanks. Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is God's will for you. God's will for us. God's will for us. What God wants for us. And this just bumps up against the way I'm wired, which is I want to do what's best for me. Like, I should give thanks in all things because if I don't give thanks, maybe I won't get more. You ever think that? If you were once a child, you know that thought, right? Better say thanks because if I don't, I'm not going to get more. And then we transfer that to, it's like a magic thing with God. If I don't say thanks, he's going to take it away or I'm not going to. There's a superstition with it. Well, that would be a reason. That's not the reason Paul gives. That's, in fact, my reason is a bad reason. Well, what other reason would we have? Well, it's not a selfish reason. It's a looking up to the one who made us reason and saying, the one who made us said, this is the way I wired you. This is the way I made you. The way I made you is that you would always give thanks because this is the, in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so if God's will, excuse me, if God's will is that I would always be giving thanks, you say, why would that be? Why would God want me to always be giving thanks? And the verse doesn't say. Sorry. So I'm going to take a stab at explaining why I think, but this is me. This is not the word of God. The reason why I think, one of the reasons why I think that God's will for us is that we would always be giving thanks in all circumstances is because everything changes when we give thanks. Everything changes because when I give thanks, I'm now looking at what I have, not what I don't have. Remember where I started? Maybe you identified with that, maybe you didn't. But at least for me, and maybe for some of us, I tend to focus on what I don't have and what's not going right, what's lacking in my life. And when I start giving thanks, my focus shifts. Everything changes because my focus shifts. And now I'm looking at what I have. I'm looking at what God has given me. And that's incredible. And as I give thanks, I'm not only seeing what I have, but I'm I'm aligning myself correctly with God. I'm moving down from my throne. I'm moving off of my throne and telling God the way things should be. And I'm frustrated with my life and things aren't going well and it's bad and I need to fix it. And as I start saying thank you, that's going up, which means I'm down, I'm under, and he's over, he's the king, and I'm aligning myself correctly and my life and my attitude correctly with the king of the universe. His will for me is that I would give thanks that aligns me correctly with him. And you know what? You know what disappears when we give thanks? I think this is part of the whole everything changes, and this is why it's God's will that we would give thanks. My pride gets taken down several notches when I'm giving thanks, because I realize in the good moments, what I'm saying thank you for, it didn't come from me, because I'm thanking someone else for giving that to me. And in the bad moments, I also realize I'm not in control. He's in control, and he's given me what I have. It takes my pride away, and it also takes the complaint out of my mouth. It's really hard to complain about that annoying, horrible person in your life. I know we shouldn't say people are that, but sometimes you feel that, right? That annoying, just like, eeh. It's hard to complain about that person when you're saying, God, thank you for my spouse or my child or my boss or whoever that person happens to be in that moment, right? How do you complain about that horrible old car that you're driving when you say, God, thank you for giving me. I didn't have to call an Uber today. I got to get in my own car. I was able to get in my own car, start it up, and drive it somewhere. Thank you. And then I'm not complaining about my car after that. Because I'm thankful. Because I'm changed. I'm changed when I say thank you. I become happy. I become content. I become generous. I become transformed when I say thank you to God. And maybe the biggest one, When we give thanks to God, and maybe this is part of the reason why it's his will for us, we give glory to him. His purpose in all of creation is that he would be glorified, he would be magnified, he would be lifted up. When I give thanks to God for what he's done and for what he's given me, that is giving glory to God. That's elevating God. Instead of me being kind of out of sorts with him, I'd never say that, but yeah. This is not going well. I'm not happy with my life. I'm not happy with the way things are going. And I wish God would change it. And I know he could if he just would. When I start saying thank you, I'm worshiping. I'm lifting him up. I'm elevating him in my heart. Everything changes when we give thanks. And then there's one little phrase that we kind of skipped over. Maybe you noticed it. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That in Christ Jesus is kind of a trigger phrase that he uses in the New Testament, and especially by the Apostle Paul. It's a trigger phrase that if you look at it and if you like just say it and you think about it, it's like it expands into the gospel. It's a phrase that encapsulates the gospel. It's a shorthand phrase, in my opinion, that the Apostle Paul uses in his writing to say, to pack all of the gospel into one phrase. In other words, he's saying, you should give thanks for everything because it's God's will for you. And if you're in Christ Jesus, if you've repented and been baptized and entered into Christ, you are in Christ. Now remember all that comes with that. He is shorthand because he's not saying all of this, but it comes with it. This is what he's saying. If you're in Christ Jesus, you've received, you're covered by his blood. He died for you and his blood has been applied to you. You are covered by his blood. You're forgiven. You're in him. You have received his perfection, the double imputation. You receive forgiveness, and then he's taken your wickedness and he's given you his perfection, his goodness. You're perfect in God's sight. You're God's dearly beloved child because of Jesus. You're in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Think of all the in Christ. Well, you can't because there's so many of them. It's the gospel. He's putting the gospel in our thankfulness. So he's saying, be thankful in all circumstances because that's God's will. And if you're in Christ, you've received the gospel. You've received everything. You're God's dearly beloved child, and all the riches of eternity are waiting for you on the other side of this life. You've received everything. Wow, that's incredible. He's reminding us of that. So no matter what our life looks like, we can be thankful in all circumstances if we're in Christ, because we've received all things in him. Look at Romans 8 again. Just one more reading, and then we'll go to the application. But this is a good one. Romans 8. Start where we were before in verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those who he called, he also justified. Those who he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And listen to this. He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if we're in Christ, we have all of that and even more. That's why we can be thankful in all circumstances, because in Christ we've received everything, and that's something to be thankful for no matter what is going on in our lives. So what do we do with this? Well, I think the obvious application is, if you are not a Christian, this is an invitation. Even this verse about thankfulness is an invitation to enter into Christ. This would be an invitation to come into Christ and receive the greatest thing for which you could be thankful. Because that's what Paul's doing in this verse. He's underlining. This is why you can be thankful in all circumstances. If you're not a Christian, you're not in Christ. You haven't received him. You don't have, no matter what else you have in life, you don't have the one thing for which you can be grateful, no matter what the circumstances, and the thing that will make you thankful for all of eternity. And you can become God's dearly beloved, forgiven, adopted child when you repent and are baptized and give yourself to him. And in this community, I say it every week because it needs to be said every week. When you're ready to make that decision, tell someone. You can repent. You can be baptized. You can enter into Christ and receive through him thankfulness in all circumstances. And if you're a Christian, what do we do with this? The application is in the verse, isn't it? We'd be thankful in all circumstances. I tell you how I've been trying to work this into my life. Because I don't know about you, but I have routines of thinking and doing, and I just have my life. And if I don't think, I can get through the day, and I just am the way that I was yesterday, today, and I do the same things. So if I'm going to introduce something new into my life, and for me, always being thankful, unfortunately, is kind of new. And it every time I read that verse, I realize, oh, that's a new thing I need to put into my life. And no matter how much I get it into my life, by the next time I read that verse, it needs to be a new thing in my life. So how do we get a new thing into our lives? We have to have little hooks to hook it on. And for me, the biggest, and you got to find your own hook. Maybe, I don't know, whatever works for you. For me, what really has been working over the past few weeks is, when something is going bad, or someone, or whatever the thing is, when I'm not happy about something, use that as like a reminder, like a little bell on my phone to remind me, I need to be thankful. And I start thanking God for that thing or that person. And then I expand it and I say thank you for other things. And that's how I've been trying to work thankfulness into my life. Whenever something is bothering me, I start thanking God for that thing or that person, and then something else and something else. And unfortunately, it works for me because I'm bothered a lot. So maybe if nothing bothers you, that would be a bad way to work thankfulness into your life. But you get upset and bothered and things don't go well for you on a regular basis, give it a shot. Just this week, every time you're not happy about something, thank God for that thing. And then thank you for something else and something else. And And let's experience together how everything is different when we're thankful. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you. Your loving kindness is great towards us. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You are so good, God, and we thank you. I pray, God, that you would help us to live what your will is for us. Help us to always be thankful in all circumstances. Help us to start our prayers out with thanksgiving and through the day just drop into saying thank you for everything and for specific things. And as we do that, God, I pray that you would bless us with the transformation that comes in us for being thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.